here are the two possible scenarios. Number one, the president asked for an investigation of a political rival. Number two, the president asked for an investigation of possible corruption by someone who happens to be a political rival. The latter would be in the national interest. The former would be in the president's parochial interest and would be over the line. I think this case is going to come down to the president's intent, his motive. Did he have a culpable state of mind?
Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy on Face the Nation over the weekend. The impeachment inquiry enters a new public phase this week. Two senior diplomats, Bill Taylor and George Kent, are scheduled to testify on Capitol Hill tomorrow. Ahead of those public hearings, the GOP released a memo with talking points for the Republican committee members. Joining me now to break down this memo is Elena Treen. She covers the White House for Axios. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. This lengthy memo breaks it down to four main pieces of evidence. Can you tell us what they are?
Sure. And just speaking to what Senator Kenny discussed over the weekend, part of this, the idea of the intent argument, what was the president's motive in this? That's really key in underlining each of these four points. But essentially, House Republicans plan to lay out, they're going to be focusing on that July 25th call. They call it the best evidence of the conversation. And they say that that shows no conditionality or evidence of pressure. Of course, that's their interpretation. Democrats will argue otherwise. The second is that they believe, or they're going to point to how the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky and President Trump have both said that they didn't believe there was any pressure from either party on the call. They'll point to how the Ukrainian government did not believe that they were aware of a hold on U.S. security assistance. Let me just note a caveat there. Later on, different officials who did testify, who worked at the Defense Department, said that they were actually, in fact, aware. But this is what the Republicans will argue. And then the fourth is that the president met with President Zelensky during the U.N. General Assembly and said that U.S. security assistance flowed to Ukraine in September 2019. And so they argue that if they did end up receiving the assistance, there couldn't have been this quid pro quo, as everyone keeps referring to.
I want to focus on the last two in particular, because as you say, the first two about the pressure, well, that's pretty much open to interpretation when you read the words, what pressure means. Do me a favor? I don't know. But let's talk about number three. The Ukrainians didn't know the money was on hold at the time of the call, this military assistance. And you alluded to Pentagon officials, in particular, I believe, Laura Cooper, whose testimony was released last week, who said that the Ukrainians did, in fact, know that the funds were being withheld. Did they before the call, before that July 25th call?
So according to some of the officials, like you just said, Laura Cooper, who worked at the Defense Department, as well as Catherine Croft and others who have testified to House investigators behind closed doors, they say that for a long period of time when the aid was being withheld, that the Ukrainian government was not aware of it. But there was a point in September, I believe, as some have testified, that they did, in fact, become aware that there was aid and potentially this coveted White House meeting with President Trump was being held up and conditioned on whether the Ukrainian government would agree or commit publicly to opening political investigations. So there is definitely going to be some questions there. I think we're going to see both sides asking questions about this, and it'll be up to the witnesses who we will hear publicly on national television starting tomorrow to answer those questions.
Right. Okay, so that was September. So they're going to say, oh, well, that was well after the call. But does that matter? Right. I mean, why does everything have to focus on that one call?
Exactly. The call is what everyone will be going back to. I think that because both sides will argue that that is the best evidence they have since it's the president's words themselves. Mm-hmm. But it isn't about the call or the whistleblower complaint or the origins of this. It's really about what happened, what did President Trump say, what were his commands to Ukraine, and what were they based off of. That's really what is going to be at the heart of this and really what the American people interpret it as.
Okay, and let's address the fourth point there, that Trump, as you said, met with Zelensky after all. He released the money after all. There was no investigation of the Bidens, and so no crime was committed.
So this is the argument that Republicans have made time and time again. We saw this happen during the Russian investigation when the president had asked that, you know, he had asked Don McGahn, one of his White House counsel, to potentially fire the special counsel Robert Mueller, and he never followed through with that. So this is going to, it's that same gray area where just because the president wanted something to happen and it didn't happen, does that mean it was a crime? And I think that, again, it's going to be a little bit up to interpretation, but the fact is, if there was aid that was withheld because of this public commitment, that will be the real evidence that people are pointing to prove whether or not the president is guilty here.
And then they're also, as you said earlier, going to focus on Trump's state of mind. What was he thinking? How do they know what he was thinking?
Exactly. I mean, this is a common issue as a journalist that I face all the time. It's intent. It's very hard to prove someone's motive or intent. But that is exactly what I think Republicans are hoping, because it's so hard to prove. They want to cast doubt on this. And it's an easy thing to cast doubt on because, it's really hard to prove one way or another. And they're looking at this as a trial. Just like in a criminal trial, you're innocent until proven guilty. That's what they're going to try and run forward here and run with, that you can't prove the president's intent, so how can we hold him responsible or say that he's guilty for this?
Although, to be clear, this is not a trial. The trial would happen in the Senate later.
Exactly. This is not a trial. And also, regardless, these are House rules that they are running on. So House rules are completely different to our current legal system. But just the comparison is what I believe that House Republicans will be trying to draw here and try to sow doubt into Americans' minds of the president's innocence.
And in this long memo, any mention of Rudy Giuliani and this kind of two-track diplomacy that we've been hearing about?
So contrary to a lot of some reports that we've seen so far, I think that Republicans are really going to be trying to stick to proving that President Trump is innocent here, or at least, yes, he may have acted inappropriately in certain cases, but that he didn't commit an impeachable offense. That's what a lot of Republicans that I've spoken to on the Hill have told me. Yes, I do believe that Rudy Giuliani and some of these other players like Mick Mulvaney will definitely come up tomorrow, because they are key to a lot of what has happened here and a lot of the witnesses that we've heard from so far, or at least Congress has heard from so far, have spoken about them. But the onus here is really about the president, and the impeachment is the impeachment of President Donald Trump, not of these other figures.
Elena Train, White House reporter for Axios. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, why some California police officers convicted of crimes are allowed to keep their jobs. An investigation reveals scores are still working. That's next on Press Play.